Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
As lots of you have been doing also, sending messages via text on 51551. Paul Galvin says these same people blocked the entire city and brought it to a standstill recently, blocking Lewis lines, etc. The Gardaí refused to intervene. They have free rein on our streets, these folks. President Higgins, says another listener, is the upholder of the Constitution. He doesn't answer to mob rule and personal abuse. A man who has represented the poor and underprivileged for years, says that caller. Another one says President Higgins is the upholder of the Constitution. Sorry, that was put in twice. And then Patricia in Dublin says there is a very unpleasant personal side to the water charge protests. It's one thing to say you have a problem with the bill. It's another to call our president or to speak of him in abusive terms. There was a noisy protest outside Manor House Girls School in Raheny in Dublin on Monday when Joan Burton visited to recognise a CSPE project. Guards had to be called so that she could leave. Girls were shocked that she was treated in this fashion. IAG has made its move now to try to buy Aer Lingus, and it's up to the big shareholders, including the government and Ryanair, to decide if Aer Lingus is to be sold off, or at least if 100% of it is to be sold. It's expected that no decision will be made by the government, at least for some months. Economist David McWilliams is with me now. Good morning, David. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And in The Independent today, you write about the disparity between reality and perception. On the one hand, we like flying Aer Lingus, but on the other hand, we forget that it flies only 9 million passengers, while Ryanair flies 90 million. But again, well, not comparing like with
no,
like.
No, but it is an extraordinary situation. I mean, I am, like I'd say, the vast majority of listeners who, when I fly, I would prefer to fly Aer Lingus. I like it. I like the staff. I like the feel. I like the sense of being on Aer Lingus. I always have been. But the reality is that Aer Lingus is a small carrier in Europe. And all those small carriers are challenged by two massive, massive changes in the industry. And the question is not so much, Sean, where we are now, but where we are likely to be in 5 years' time, given the changes. And the one massive change in Europe, and you see it all the time, is that low-cost flying is growing exponentially. People are choosing, whether we like it or not, or whether politicians like it or not, or whether people who've got a vested interest like it or not, people are choosing low-cost flights. Now, take, for example, Ryanair. Ryanair flies 90 million people a year. That is 10 times larger than Aer Lingus. And yet, some of us in Ireland still feel that Ryanair is kind of the upstart and Aer Lingus is the incumbent. If you look even in the UK, you'd always think, OK, well, BA must be the dominant force in the UK. It's not. BA is the third largest airline in the UK after EasyJet and Ryanair. So what you have, again, all over Europe, in Norwegian, Wizz Air, Germanwings, all these old incumbents, OK, are being challenged by low-cost airlines, and the low-cost airlines seem to be winning passenger shares all the time.
So the reality is, then, should it not be that Aer Lingus is sold off to Ryanair as opposed to IAG?
But the reality is, if you want to keep a sort of premium airline, an airline like LOT or Finnair or SAS or Aer Lingus, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you're constantly going to be losing market share to these low-cost airlines, not because they are doing things, but because consumers are saying, do you know what? I will fly.
Yes, you lose market share if more people fly. But if you're holding your own in that market and you're profitable, as Aer Lingus now is again, having gone through various bits of restructuring and so forth, and they're in profit, why change that winning formula?
I think because the second aspect is that the low-cost airlines in Europe is clearly the growth area, okay? So you're clinging on to a smaller market. The second one, if you look at airline business all over the world, it is dominated now by growth in Asia and what's called emerging markets and emerging carriers. Now, all the European airlines are trying to figure out an Asian strategy, the older ones. You know, SAS and Finnair, we're going to fly people from Finland to Asia and back, and they're looking at the Asian market. But if you think about it, as this airline business changes, airlines are going to compete for every single piece of business. So, for example, if you look at Irish people going to Australia, which is a massive market in the last 5 years, 1,200 people a day are being flown from Dublin to Australia, largely by the two Gulf airlines. You know, these didn't exist 2 or 3 years ago. You think Etihad and Emirates. And so what is happening is the notion that only Heathrow, and this comes back to the big nub of the issue, is the connected hub for Ireland is probably wrong. And it's certainly not the case for Dublin. I think it is the case for Shannon and Cork, and there's a totally different situation. But for Dublin, people flying out of Dublin have the choice to fly to Schiphol, to Frankfurt, to Charles de Gaulle, to connect out, or to take those Gulf carriers. So what is happening, Sean, is that this business, it seems to me, the economics of this business are changing profoundly. And it then the question, well, what is Aer Lingus going to do? Who is it going to get into bed with? It's not really a case of, is it going to stay on its own?
Are you saying it can't survive on its own?
Well, if you look at the United States, it's very interesting. The United States used to have dozens and dozens of airlines, dozens of carriers. Do you know how many it has now? Six. So the consolidation of the American market is a leading indicator for what is going to happen around the world. It is now six carriers. So consolidation is going to come. The smaller airlines will be gobbled up by bigger airlines. The question is now for Aer Lingus, who do they want to be gobbled up by? Who do they want to
Why should they want to be gobbled up by anybody? Why should the Irish people and the government want them to be gobbled up if they have some strategic assets? Like, for instance, the fact of the, and we talk about the Heathrow slots. I mean, that's not to be sneezed at. It's something that they have and they can control.
But Sean, again, this seems to me very much like conventional wisdom in the sense that in the past, Heathrow was an essential hub for Ireland. This is not the case anymore. There are numerous other hubs.
Yeah,
that
you make that
used.
Point. But nonetheless, and between 10 to 7 in the morning and 9 o'clock in the evening, there are 23 flights between Heathrow and Dublin. There are 4 flights between Heathrow and Cork. There are 4 flights between Heathrow and Shannon. And then if you want to bring in the rest of the island, there are 15 to Belfast. So it's again, a fairly important segment.
Oh, it is, but multiples of that fly to other airports in the UK. We know that, right? So Heathrow isn't sacrosanct. But the question is, where does Aer Lingus as a company go? Right. If we decide that we can try and stop the clock today, then Aer Lingus could, for a little while, be on its own. But let's think about what's going to happen. The Gulf airliners are going to continue this. Other airliners are going to come in. There are 36,000 airlines. Think about this. Planes ordered in the next 16 years around the world. They're going to need customers. So what looks to me like a situation is we are now have a choice. Once the airline industry begins to consolidate, who does Aer Lingus go with? Because you need bigger partners. Now, think about BA. BA, for example, think about the American market. I've always been intrigued. If you travel around the States, for example, I did a lot of work on Irish diaspora stuff in places of the States that were not necessarily normally associated with Ireland, like Dallas, okay, which is the hub for American airlines. Dallas, San Diego, Miami, all these places. All these places Aer Lingus doesn't serve. All these places are served by BA. There's this One World Alliance. It seems to me that Aer Lingus has to figure out what is the airline.
Well, we were in that, or at least Aer Lingus was in that.
But BA have a much more dominant network. What is the airline that serves these places, which may well generate tourist industry for Ireland? And I suspect that BA is a better fit. It seems to me.
Okay, but look at it from the other point of view. What do you think BA and Willie Walsh, given the political realities and the election is only a year or so away and you can't ignore that and that is going to inform the government's thinking.
Why should the election
because
inform?
That's one of the realities, Sean. No, you can say that's wrong.
But now we're into the interesting part of the discussion because you've actually put your finger on it.
No, but you can say it shouldn't, but it does. We saw what happened in Shannon and you can say that Shannon and the Shannon stopover, if you like, it restrained and stifled the development of the Irish economy for decades.
But Sean, isn't
and
this...
you could say
but
that
let's,
shouldn't
let's,
be allowed to happen
Let's go down this because this is the most interesting part of the conversation, to go down this particular road. What I've set out is what is the future of the global airline business. One is low cost in Europe and the other was massive, massive growth in Asia. That's what's going to happen. So then we've got to think, okay, where does Ireland fit in this? And Ireland, we're an international economy, we trade with the world. So what we're doing here is it's kind of a King Canute strategy. We're trying to say, okay, but all that stuff doesn't matter out there because this is political and this is electoral.
What?
And it's not. You and I know it's
not. We've got to ask ourselves, surely, what is IAG or True British Airways primarily and Willie Walsh, what are they going to offer Aer Lingus by way of enhancement, by way of increased activity and by way of increased passenger numbers coming through to this country? This is what I'm saying to you.
Well, the proposition is always push and pull, right? The pull factor is what has been offered. The push factor is what's actually happening. Can Aer Lingus survive? You say it's profitable now, but we know the history of Aer Lingus is profitable 2 years down the next. You know, oil prices have gone down by 40%, Sean. If you think about 45% of revenues of airlines is fuel costs. What happens when oil prices go back up to $100 a barrel, or maybe go up to 90? Suddenly those numbers begin to look not necessarily that profitable. The airline business, we know, is the most erratic business in terms of profitability. Only the low-cost carriers have managed to actually keep profitable consistently. So at the moment, you could be in a position, Sean, and this is what I keep coming back to, that we're in a uniquely profitable moment for Aer Lingus. So then you think, okay, what are they going to offer? And you say, okay, who has the biggest network, the European airline with the biggest network to the US? That's where Aer Lingus ain't going to grow in Asia. Right? You know that, so do I. Where are we going to grow? We're going to grow in Europe, sustain, maybe as you say, flatline, but sustain that business, or grow in America. Who has the biggest network? European company with the biggest network in America? British Airways. Who was right beside us? British Airways. So in terms of the big players who are going to dominate this business, and again, I come back to the American model, only six airlines when there used to be dozens. So who are these? They are companies that serve markets that we have interests in. And I believe that this is one of them. Now, then the question is, and it comes back to your idea, well, it's politics and it's local and it's the local TD.
I'm saying you can't ignore those factors.
You can't ignore it, but you should not hijack.
Oh, you have to persuade them that it's in their interest.
No, but it is. You see, the thing is, if you think about, you know, for example, Willie Walsh, don't forget Willie Walsh, who took over British Airways and has done extraordinary things, was in Aer Lingus.
He won't be there. He won't be in British Airways forever.
But do you understand what I'm saying? Here was a very brilliant Irish chief executive who was a former pilot, who knew what was going on. And how long did he last here?
Well, as long as he wanted, and then he found a bigger stage.
But you and I know what happened. So I think that if it becomes a political football, if Aer Lingus becomes, like many other Irish companies or assets, becomes part of the political process, then all bets are off. But then you're not operating this as a company for people like you and me who travel, for people who actually want to use the air, you're using the company for the marginal electoral votes of politicians, which I believe is very dangerous.
No, it may well be that there is a good case. It's just that we have to hear it. Well, and if it's going to enhance Aer Lingus, if it's going to bring, and we shouldn't forget the new terminal in Dublin Airport, that, you know, if they're going to do something that's going to maybe double the numbers that would be welcome. Sean, we have to hear what the formula is.
You're talking as if Aer Lingus is a jewel here. Right?
No, there's lots of jewels, though. Okay, at least they're adornments. But
you're talking as if this is an outstanding company that has never had any problems in the past and has got a bright future.
No, I'm that saying not it has case. Something.
What
we're
talking about? What are we talking about?
24 slots at Heathrow. Some that are really valuable and have strategic importance, and make sure
in all the negotiations that they are. But the case is, you've got to see that this is an airline business which is changing profoundly. Now, we can choose to think it's the 1980s and we won't change. But then the business will change. And who's going to come next for Aer Lingus? And who's going to come after that? And that is the question. It strikes me that this is a bid which is made by an airline that has similar interests to Aer Lingus. And that's very important.
In a sentence, that's what you could say. This is an opportunity. It's not a threat.
Absolutely.
David McWilliams, thank you very much indeed for joining us. We'll be talking football after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.